Very mysterious sounding, guys. Are we mysterious tonight?
Oh, actually, yeah. Just, this movie?
We're also tone deaf.
Oh.
We're a little bit calm A, a little bit calm B.
Ah, yeah.
I can't carry a tune in a bucket.
Welcome back, movie fans. Pete here.
And Brian.
I'm Neil.
You still?
Yep. Every night.
The whole day.
Yep.
Except for that one time.
I have to own up to it.
Tuesday
afternoon. Where he was swizzle sticks. And already, we are off and hot.
So, Dungeon Master, how did your campaign go today?
Actually, my character's name is Swizzle. I totally... So.
Of course it is.
Yeah, of course it is.
We are three dads navigating the films of our youth that we remember with nostalgia. Not to be confused with accurate remembering said movie. We are going to watch a movie tonight and try and answer three basic questions. Question number one, does this movie hold up? Question number two, should this movie be rebooted, sequeled, recycled, or removed from the historical record? And question number three, should our lovely and amazing children be induced into watching said film as either a punishment or reward?
Yep.
And we also have scotch and ice cream.
The real reason we're here.
That's really the only reason. Yeah. I don't care about my kids.
That's how we keep everyone coming back, is excuse for ice cream and
scotch.
You
guys pulled an audible this afternoon and threw a movie out there that I'm almost 100% positive I have not seen, because I watched the preview this afternoon for it, and I was like, I don't know any of this.
What did you think of the preview?
It looks almost as good as Lawnmower Man.
Oh, Gauntlet Throne. Well, what movie are we doing, guys?
Neil?
We're not watching Dark Man. We're not watching Darkwing Duck.
And we already did the Dark Crystal. Ain't doing that again.
Dark City.
Dark City.
Ooh.
It's a city, but it's dark.
Like a city, but darker.
Right.
But
dark. Well, just take,
but with no lights.
Well, take like your average city, like New York, Chicago, Detroit, and turn off all the lights. And now it's a dark city.
You see, I'm having trouble realizing or understanding here why.
That's the big point of this movie, is that it is kind of a
why
mystery.
Why anyone decided to make the movie.
Well, it's...
I'm more than a little worried about this.
It's a bit of a mind twist. Like, it's a whole thing of, like, what's going on. So it's a lot like The Matrix, where the big question is, what is going on?
The Matrix came out in 1999. This movie came out in 1998, just 1 year before. And I really want you to keep that in mind when we are looking at the quality of the special effects through this. Just 1 year difference.
Well,
one little year.
And I feel like also a bit with budget. But I do know this was, unlike The Matrix, this was not a special effects heavy movie. This was more story driven.
Yes. And it stars Kiefer Sutherland, who I actually really enjoy as an actor.
And he gets to play a very interesting character.
Join us, Michael.
It's not that interesting. He's not a vampire. But again, this movie, it's weird. Like, I remember watching it and liking it, but what really sealed the deal was that it was the movie we had rented for a week, and I was dating this girl, and it was always, hey, let's go hang out and cuddle. What movie should we watch? Oh, we have this movie.
Oh, so this is a formative movie for you that you still have no idea how.
Oh,
it
no,
goes.
This was pre, like, well, let me rephrase it. This was pure cuddling. So I just watched this movie like 8 times. In a row.
So there's not a 3 or 4 minute window in the middle where you have
no
idea what happens.
I don't remember that. It's like, oh no, I got to watch. But in watching it a lot, I got to learn nuances and layers to this movie. So I'm a little biased, where I have seen this movie so much that I feel like I really understand it as like a genre.
And I'm a noob here that has no idea what I'm getting myself into.
Right.
And then we have Neil, who has seen it once, twice.
The nuances and layers that I enjoyed were Jennifer Connelly. I remember that.
Yes.
And I also distinctly remember I worked in a VHS rental store in my Ute. This movie.
You never told us this.
I did. It was called Video Kingdom.
New layers.
Video
wow. Kingdom. You worked in Video Kingdom.
And
you were like
big,
an onion.
It had a big set of armor, a knight set of armor in the doorway. It was Video Kingdom. It was pretty awesome. It was a good job. But this movie was right next to Dark Man. And Dark City and Dark Man, when you're looking at the VHS covers, they're similar enough. They just kind of blend together in your head. It's like a No Doubt album and Tank Girl. When you're looking at those, you can't remember which is which.
Fair.
So people would often get them confused and read the wrong one?
It kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like that kind of describes this movie pretty well. Like, it came and it was, again, like you said in the text messaging, Neil, if you know, you know. Otherwise, it just fell off the radar. Like, nobody talks about this movie.
Yeah, yep. This was at a period in my life. I had graduated college. I was living in Colorado at the bottom of a canyon with very little access to the world.
Oh, you would have appreciated this movie because being, you know, locked in a cabin with this movie definitely would have done your body a good.
Jennifer Connelly's in this movie.
Yeah, I know.
Not for that reason, just because, you know, it would have made you question all sorts of things.
Yes, because Jennifer Connelly is in this movie.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she is.
No, it's got not the greatest title, and the cover, you know, back when you're looking at VHS covers, it wasn't, like, enough to make you maybe get it over some other stuff.
Isn't it crazy that we used to make our complete movie experience and our decision-making process was just based off of the cover art of a box?
That's how we buy wine.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to know what it feels like, just go wine shopping for your wife. Get the one with the horse on it.
That's what I did. I bought one with the horse on it. Yep. Delicious.
It's how we get sold scotch bottles.
Yeah.
It's the market.
It's not different, but when you do it with movies, you know.
Well, and
it's like a 2.5 hour investment, though, or an hour and 41 minute investment.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is that if you notice with movies today, when we watch previews, it pretty much gives away 80% of the movie.
Yes.
Like, there are previews I've seen that I don't need to see the movie because I know exactly what's going to happen.
This preview did not do that.
And I feel like...
Did you guys watch the preview that I
did? I did, yeah.
Okay, I remember the preview. I thought
it was pretty good.
It's good if you know the story.
I'm worried.
I have high hopes for this.
Yeah, I've been burned so many times before, Brian.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get burned.
I'm crispy right now.
But I think this one, like, it's definitely better than Johnny Mnemonic.
To set the bar high.
And I think that the story is as innovative as The Matrix.
I think it's a better film than Lawnmower Man.
I mean, also... Well,
I'm going to hold you to this.
Also not...
And
not
when I say I think, I mean I remember Jennifer Connelly.
Already a better movie than Lawnmower Man.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, what... I feel good about this. I feel good.
As long as it doesn't have Job in a new pair of blue jeans.
No, the lead actor, he looks like a young Ian McShane, which is Al Swearengen.
He played the bad guy from the movie with Heath Ledger. He was a Knight's Tale.
Oh.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of movies. You may recognize him from such films as A Knight's Tale and Dark City.
Yeah, and he's not Ian McShane.
I've heard that Jennifer Connelly is in this movie as well.
And Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah, so I feel like if we get into it more, we're going to give away things. So let's just kick it and rip it.
Let's kick it and rip it. All right, let's just jump right into it. You guys know what we do. We're going to get some scotch. We're going to get some ice cream. And we're going to go watch this movie right now. And we'll be right back. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Darker mystery sound.
In a world. Kick it and rip it? What did we say? I have no words.
And it's like we've only been gone a few minutes, but it's always midnight.
Do you remember the last time you saw the sun?
Yesterday? Day before? What do you remember of your past, Pete?
Surprisingly, very little.
Yeah, this movie just describes middle age.
Like, honestly, it's like every day is the same. Like, this movie spoke to me on so many levels.
My daughter today asked me, can you tell me what it was like as a baby? And all I could say was like, well, you were a baby. And you know, you pooped, you cried, you slept, kind of. That was it for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Were you happy? Not remotely. No, don't get me. I loved you. I still love you. And I loved you then, and I was not happy.
And I was so tired.
I was so tired.
So very tired.
Much like the characters in this movie, everyone got real sleepies.
They did. Slept on the regular quite well.
almost on command.
I don't know if they slept, because if you think about it, when they're tuning, like, everyone goes to sleep, and then... we looked up, it's tuning, but everybody pronounced it with a weird CH or Q.
Tuning.
So, I think they only get to sleep for, like, however long it takes for them to make the adjustments they want to make. So, they maybe sleep for an hour, maybe they sleep for a day, And then, once again, it's midnight.
However long it takes to kill a few hookers, that's what you get.
And then put that little Westworld maze on their...
Yeah, the spirals.
On their boobies.
Oh, yeah.
Like, honestly, like, you know, I've always imagined drawing circles on boobies, but, you know, that's just what
it's like
do.
Spike Lee with an ice cube, except these are dead people with knives. Do the
only
right thing?
Only a small portion of this movie involved spirals on boobs.
Yes.
Welcome back, guys.
Yeah, we've seen some things.
We've seen many, many things that need to be described.
Told you it was a mindfuck.
In two sentences or less, or one run-on sentence.
The choice is yours.
I know this one speaks to In a World.
Oh, it does.
It does, but there's so many layers.
Like
an onion.
Yeah, this was... I told you guys, like, and you'll remember, this is like The Matrix, but more going on.
The world building was a lot more fleshed out, and the whole injection of memory thing at the end when the doctor imprint... Dr. Schreiber?
Yeah.
Yeah, Schreiber. Mm-hmm. Dr. Schreiber. Injected and then like imprinted himself into the memories. Yeah. Remember.
Mm-hmm. Guides him right on through.
You know, we had, you know, a little bit of memento in here.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, like that's a good pull. Like it's memento. What do we say?
Inception.
Inception.
Had vibes of
Truman Show.
Truman Show. We brought
Total
that.
Recall.
Yes.
Like this is
Matrix.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking
but
it's
this
like
is
before
the Matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking it was like the show Aeon Flux had a baby with Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't...
That is pretty accurate.
I get where you're coming from with the Dick Tracy, like the Art Deco film noir type, you know, detective thing. But I don't know, that was a little campy for me.
Well, that was the world that the aliens created for them. They thought, this will make them comfortable.
Right.
We're going to plop them down in a nice 1930s to 1950s with some other stuff thrown in there.
Well, this reminds me, like, and I'm dying to know how they came up with this, because when I was a kid, we played a game on our old Apple IIe's called Deja Vu. And you play as a detective, gumshoe, private investigator guy, who wakes up and has no memory. You wake up in an apartment with no memory, and you spend the game trying to figure out who you are as people are trying to kill you. But it was all done through hypercards. So it was all with these little vignettes, and you could explore and ask questions. It felt like this movie.
Yeah.
Which would be my two-sentence synopsis, except nobody's played Deja Vu.
Apple IIe's.
Yeah.
That was the flat one that you could, like, flip.
No, it was a compact box.
Yeah, it was
computer.
A box. Yeah, yeah. That you'd have to connect to your TV.
No, this was its own, it had its own monitor.
Oh.
It was tiny.
And it was green and black.
This one was black and white.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so maybe it wasn't a 2E, but we had one that was black and white. It had
Clearly we remember things perfectly, guys.
Anyways.
Congratulations to us.
So two-sentence synopsis. I'll go first. Dark City. John, generic man. finds out that he is in a mystery where he needs to figure out why he's so special. And in the end, it turns out, shocker, he is the one to save the world?
Yes. I see what you did there on a air quote.
Yeah, it's fortunately air quotes really convey themselves well on a podcast.
It's kind of your thing.
Yeah, but it's amazing how much like The Matrix this was. Even with the point of injecting memories to learn things into your head instantly a year before The Matrix.
I know Kung Fu.
Would have been a much better fight scene, but you know. Yeah, so that's what I got.
Okay. Let's see here. This is a movie about alien zookeepers trying to study what makes us tick. But unfortunately, they're looking in all the wrong places.
Wookin' Panav in all the wrong places. Wookin' Panav.
That is supremely accurate. I did like how the aliens were truly alien. Like, they had no idea what they were doing or why. They were just, all right.
I was, and Buckaroo Banzai across the 8th dimension. Mm-hmm. Like, with John. Everyone was named John. something. This is all Mr. Hand, Mr. Face,
Mr. Book.
Mr. Book, uh-huh. Mr. Street.
Yeah. Things that will make the humans comfortable.
Yeah.
I'll just be Mr. Hand.
Yeah. So nice to meet you, Mr. Hand.
We're all going to be vampires.
Mr. Cup.
It's like Jackie Chan. That's bullshit, Mr. Hand Man.
Okay.
In a world where aliens are really just like us, stupid about so many things they're confident about, comes a tale of intrigue and confusion and memory and flat earth and tacos. Wait a minute, were there tacos?
No, in fact, okay. The only food, like, we see food in the laundromat. We see food, like, when those...
Oh, and it was just, like... What was the thing called? The automat?
It was just a word that just said banana on it.
Well, because someone took something, and then, like, he moved... And then he put out one that said green jello, and put out, like, a piece of
green jello. Soylent Green, I think.
Yeah, it was...
Is there ever a restaurant that actually did that?
Yeah, I think so. Like, there were. Like, there were sandwich shops that would have, like, little vending machines like that. They'd put in there, and you put in your money, pop up. It was really popular for, like, a minute. They thought like that was gonna be the future of dining. Was like everything would just be in these lockers that you could just pop
in. The '50s, when everything was served in Jello form.
They did exist. I remember it. I think it was on, like a show Unwrapped or something on the Food Network. Anyways,
yeah.
So, to those of you that have seen the movie before, because I definitely had not seen this movie. This was the first time for me.
Yeah.
Did this movie hold up for you guys?
I would say yes. I think it held up amazingly well, and I was even remarking that the special effects, by and large, I think worked really well, even today.
Yeah, like they, you know, you can see the scenes.
One notable exception.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but you know.
But they were very brief with it. I almost feel like that was a note from like the executives, were like, make sure you show the alien using that CGI, you know, honestly, tentacles.
It was like Lawnmower Man was trying to break into the movie quickly. And
he couldn't get in. There was some stuff like where they're changing the city around and it looked fantastic. And I actually wasn't totally sure how they did it.
Part of it looked like better claymation than claymation. It was like...
Yeah, they used a lot of sets, I think.
I think maybe that was a model and they used like green screen...
Green screen,
it was early really green. Well done.
Yeah, it was not like for 1998, like it's looking pretty good.
Yep, I agree.
I'm right there with you, Neil. Like I had a ton of fun watching it. Like I remembered all the big points, but like, oh, this was really tight. Like the dialogue was really good. Certain things I started noticing too, like after my 30th, you know, rewatch of this, were like the whole reference to Rat in a Maze, the goldfish. Mm-hmm. So there was a goldfish that broke free accidentally
and
then
was
saved and placed into a much bigger tub of water.
In a bigger world.
But at the same time, like even though he's broke free, he's still trapped. Like there were all these little like allusions to be like, hey.
And the doctor had his like pseudo oasis in the middle of it, but it wasn't a real one.
Wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up, Neo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The doctor was definitely like Morpheus waking him up.
So I thought it was so great.
Like,
it was
the
a
more
cool
you think
mystery.
About the connections with the Matrix,
it's even really, everything being green. Do you guys know how much green there was in this movie?
Green and sepia, a lot of sepia tone in there.
And dark. My phone for the pictures, they're all blue because that's what the iPhones do when it's too dark. Is it just goes blue?
Yeah.
So I loved it. I thought this was a lot of fun.
I also enjoyed the movie, even as. You know, this is 25 years ago this movie came out, and I would watch this again. I would hands down watch this movie again. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I mean, a neat sci-fi concept.
Yeah.
A very clever, like, way of dealing it, like, you know, with... it was a cool mystery, but then, sci-fi, like, abduction and... Where's the human spirit?
Oh, so then also
what is
Close
love?
Encounters
Baby
of the
Don't
Third
Hurt
Kind.
Me.
Yeah, it was really out there. I mean, that was a bold movie. I think
that's why it didn't do so well, is because it...
There's no clean ending, because like they're still kidnapped, abducted humans living on a space disk.
And even...
Flying. And like even if he knew how to will the machine to do something, go to my original planet...
Well, and even he said like, well, where are all the old memories? And he was like, it's destroyed. They're gone. All the old memories are gone. All they have are whatever weird Rubik's Cube memories the doctor's made for them over who knows how many years.
Right.
No one is like anything
anymore. So there's no clean ending to it. There's like,
you leave the theater, I would say, like, still feeling kind of like they're really still kind of fucked.
Well, except they have a plan. What I imagine was going to happen to this planet is going to be John just keeps using the machine to make the planet bigger and bigger and more evolved and perfect in his image, in his mind, to make this world for the people that are still on it. And it will become...
You're right. I am also getting a Guardians 3 vibe from this movie of someone continuing...
Guardians 2.
No, 3.
Not with Ego, the guy who makes planets?
No, Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
You're going with the...
Right now.
The Supreme making everything perfect.
Trying and like... This is the prequel to Guardians.
Hey, okay. I see where you're going.
You can see where he goes mad with power after making perfect world after perfect world and always trying to improve on it.
Well, the hard thing is that John is, for all intents and purposes, just an average guy who now is the power of a god. I have a feeling what it'll end up being is that he just makes a world and just kind
of lives. So we've watched that 2 times in a row, the power of a god. Like, you know, Job went through the same thing.
Yeah, but Job went nuts. I think John is just going to hang out with Jennifer Connelly on the beach.
Yeah, John evolved. I think Job, he just snapped.
Yeah. Yeah. There was no snapping in this. I feel like it was... What's the opposite of a snap? A mend?
You also, you know, you almost feel bad for those aliens. They're like, our entire civilization is about to collapse and die. This is the only way that we can save ourselves is by studying these humans. And... We're kind of inept at doing it, which is probably why our species is dying out anyways.
Well,
and then one of them wakes up from the experiments that we've been doing to try and then kills the rest of us, except for the one that is dying slowly.
Well, the worst thing is that they had succeeded. They were going to imprint them. So the doctor said that they're a hive mind. That's their problem, is that they're all one individual with one collective. So they were going to bring him into the collective, and then therefore they would have a soul. And so they had, as best they could tell, their solution. They were on the cusp of finishing this great experience, saving their civilization, and then he turns on them like Frankenstein's monster.
Oh, Frankenstein, another connection.
Yeah, well, like done. This. Yeah. I mean, if you look at it from there...
We made you.
We have an like a dark story that kind of takes an uplifting turn at the end, and for them it was a dark story that just got
a cautionary
worse.
Tale. Really, yeah. Cautionary tale.
Stick
don't
to
mess.
Anal probes. With
yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. There's not enough room for two of us in this town, boy. Well, guys, someone's going to evolve, and we won.
Don't you know, guys, that when you kidnap humans, it's up the butt. It's not make a whole city and kidnap them.
I know.
It's just you stick a probe up their butt. That's what you do. I don't know where you.
I don't know what answers you're going to find. Now, here's something else that's interesting. Was it say that this group of aliens brought a small little zoo of humans, you know, just a little, like keeping it in a nice little contained environment, and we're going to study them? Oh, no. One got out, and suddenly the virus has spread and destroyed us.
It's Jurassic Park.
It's Jurassic Park. It's Outbreak.
It's Alien.
Or just humans are a virus, man. Like, think about it. Like, we kept in there. Like, we evolved to adapt and then overcome our surroundings. That's what this movie is saying, is that humans are a virus. We will literally remake any environment or situation
to
suit us.
And I think that is actually quoted in The Matrix. You are a virus.
I think he even calls The Matrix a zoo. Okay, Matrix. Like, I need...
We need to
know how these two movies came about separately, and...
Only a year apart. I'm sure the talk was bandied about in Hollywood at the time for, like, scriptwriters and things like that, and maybe this is just kind of an offshoot of the hub of...
The Zeitgeist.
Just the world building. You know what? Like, even in Dungeons & Dragons, when somebody starts world building, then the next DM comes in and builds off of that, and you kind of get these overlapping motifs.
So wait a second. What you're saying is that when Neil does his Dungeon and Dragons scenario, he's just going to have yours, but there'll be a goblin?
No.
And then you guys hit a green dragon and a goblin.
Everything's green and blue. And dark. It's always nighttime.
So, but it is interesting that, like, I guarantee you, people who are looking, like, going through our catalog and look at this will be like, Dark City. Either they'll...
If they know, they know, as you were saying earlier today.
Or they'll be like, what movie was that? And that's the weirdest thing. This movie was phenomenal, but forgotten.
Mm-hmm. This is a great segue moment into question 2.
Ooh.
Because I would, although I fear a reboot or a sequel or some sort of adaptation of this story done today would turn it into like this epic, franchisable, Marvel-esque.
Oh, it'd be 3 hours long.
Just a little too much. I actually liked the... There was the story within the story. There was the gumshoe story in there, and then there was the alien abduction story kind of, you know, inception-wise into this. I feel like if it was done today by the big production houses, it would just get Disney'd.
Well, I think the hard part, too, and we've run into this, is the movie takes place in an unknown time, so it's not like we're looking at the 50s.
Right.
All the time. This was a weird quasi...
But I would love to see what today's studios could do with special effects with this kind of world building, but I don't know if they would need to, like, make it bright and shiny. You know, I think maybe keeping it dreary, Christopher Nolan-esque, maybe.
I think the aesthetic is one of the best things about the movie.
Yeah.
I think the two... I mean... The Kiefer Sutherland character, I don't know how much it was his performance and how much he was supposed to be like so off-putting. And like his acting in the first half, I don't know how intentional it was. But it took a long time for him to come around, in my opinion.
Well, what makes it hard is that they needed a character who was the source for the main protagonist's knowledge, like needed, had all the answers, but they couldn't just, because if the two meet too early, then you know, like, oh, hey, guess what, like in 10 minutes we'd know, like, this whole place is nothing but like one floating zoo by a bunch of aliens who are studying us and constantly scrambling around our memories. You don't even know who you are. I don't know who I am. That's where we are. Oh, what's the next 90 minutes gonna be? I don't know.
Right.
So
right.
They needed to figure out a way to keep him, you know, as like he was literally the MacGuffin. They should have called him Dr. MacGuffin.
They balanced so much in this movie.
It was, it was so convenient the way that John would just always be like around the corner from, what are the bad guys' names? Baldies?
The Strangers.
The Strangers.
Well, except the city's not that big.
Right.
That's the whole thing. Is like, because you can say that, be like, well, wait a second. There's a lot of moments where he suddenly finds himself here and like she can just... He mentioned that he saw a prostitute and went to her apartment next to the automat, and she somehow goes to that automat and finds that building and finds that apartment. That's because, like, yeah, there's one automat. It's literally like four city blocks.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Like,
that's fair.
The metro probably just goes around, like he says, just goes around in a circle.
If you were to reboot this, or see.
Boy, yeah.
That's tough. Like, I don't.
I don't know that it needs it. I mean, it's not a perfect movie, but it has so much going for it that
I just came up with an idea. It's totally genius, and it's going to blow your mind, Sox. The way I would do it is I would keep... I like the idea of the mystery, and I would have it be like where there's a city, and something's not right, and the whole movie is a guy trying to figure out like why something's not right. A little bit like The Truman Show, but have it be... And what it ends up being is that like as he... stumbles his way down the rabbit hole, not crazy, like in finding all these instances, like, and it turns out that he runs into John, and John's like, hey, so turns out you're kind of like me, this is what's going on. And it turns out that, you know, John has built this world, and much like the Matrix, like, there are people like able to just go about and do their thing and live their lives, but there are those who don't accept it. And it turns out... So I'd have it be like its own movie, doing its own thing, but at the end, we find out that this is a sequel to Dark City.
So just world build into another story of this universe.
Right, and he runs into John, who's, you know, older and...
Tron 2.
Yeah, but Tron 2 has been like, listen, and, you know, everything, you know, like... Or the machine's breaking down.
Would you have the exact same actors come back?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'd have him be with Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
And... whatever this guy's and name the other guys. Is.
Yeah.
Sewell.
John Murdoch.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I would, like, maybe it's something like that. Like, maybe the machine's breaking down and he needs to find someone who can figure out how, because he can use
He's lost his will.
No, he can use it. He can't fix it. Like, he has no idea how to fix it, so he needs to figure out a way to make He
already proved that he can fix it.
No, he proved he can use it.
No, because the machine was smashed and destroyed.
That was, what, the clock thing?
Oh, no, it was just the research lab.
Just, yeah. He can rebuild the world, but the actual machine itself, what I would have is that the machine itself, or maybe he's trying to figure out the memories, or he's trying to figure out where they came from, something like that.
I really like it. And I think what I'm hearing you say is that the point of this movie is that in order to survive, we have to successfully evolve. And as the story goes on, we must continue to evolve. You cannot be complacent. So if you're going to have a sequel, which is, I think, what you're talking about,
yeah.
What's the next step in the evolution?
You're picking up where
bacteria.
Yeah. I would just make it where, like, we wouldn't know this was a sequel to Dark City until the end, where it would be like, oh, and people are like, what movie was this a sequel to? The one, you know, that came out for The Matrix. I never saw that. Oh, well, you know, this movie's good too.
This is a great idea.
The hard part would be trying to sell it to an executive. Listen, we're making a sequel to Dark City. Oh, that movie?
Well, right. That was my initial impression. Is there's so much in this movie that I'm afraid you wouldn't get.
I would like to see what a mature Kiefer Sutherland would do with the doctor role.
Well, maybe that's how he keeps the doctor on and keep trying to figure out personalities to figure out someone who can rebuild the machine so they can figure out how to get home.
So does he wake Jennifer Connelly up and she can live in the other world, or does she stay asleep with the memories that she had already
had? Well, she's now Anna, but I think she would still stay as Anna, because that's where her
I think we're assuming they're stuck with what they got.
Yeah,
now.
Like, it's, you know.
Okay.
So, but that I think would be really interesting to find about, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how, like, the movie would be, but to have it end with,
right. Hey, no, I think you what? Got
this
it.
This was a sequel.
You got a sequel, and you're completely on the right track. I agree.
I'm down with that.
All right, I told you. Blow your mind socks.
I'm picking up what you're kicking over.
We tuned into it.
Yeah, you chewed. It's like Stewie from Family Guy.
I feel so validated. I've seen this movie so many times. It was like cued, tuned, tuned. Like, they add these weird syllables in front of ooned. They zooned.
You were cuddling. It's okay.
Fair. Fair. And if she's listening to this podcast and you remember, you know, good times.
It was worth it. So, question three. Terrible segue.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
I don't think so. Don't. Like, the amount of nudity, like, there's some boobies in it. That's about it.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're not gratuitous boobies.
They're not gratuitous boobies.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little creepiness and some nudity.
That's about it. I would say no more creepiness than any of the Lord of the Rings.
I think what it is, though, is I know right now my kids would be bored. I mean, there's always we're watching a movie, and that's better than anything.
Yeah, this would maybe be like a... Because it is pretty cerebral.
I think when they were maybe teenagers and just going, like, learning about cool sci-fi, like, oh, like, there's some cool sci-fi stories out there, like, that are really interesting, you know, as a story, and that would be this movie. You're not watching it for
Dad,
the action.
Dad, what movie can I name drop that'll totally, like, burn someone? Here you go.
As soon as they need to start cuddling, it's on.
No. If you want cuddling, you watch the movie 10 Things I Hate About You.
Maybe once they've seen, if they watch The Truman Show and they like it, if they've watched any of that other stuff we were talking about and they liked it, why not throw this in there?
I mean, that's a great point. If The Truman Show is a great example. If they can sit through The Truman Show and be like, oh, that was fun. Be like, well, you want to see, like, a similar idea but kind of darker and weirder?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're my kids, they'll go, yeah. And if they're Laurel's kids, they'll go, eh. I don't think Laurel would like this movie.
Emmy would not like this. She would be, I'm just going to make some tea. No, you don't have to pause it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know what that means.
And I will say, this is one of those movies you have to kind of pay attention because it's very confusing.
Yes.
Well, I knew what was going on, so I could tune it out. this is not going to get old.
No.
But Pete, like, would you say that you had to...
I did. There were a few times, especially in the early going, nothing is explained. There is no exposition.
Yeah, none.
Right. And I actually was about to walk in because I walked off right when it started and you were like, you're missing shit. I'm like, am I missing exposition? And no. No, I was not. I was like, okay, this is a good start.
Well, maybe that's why, like, we enjoyed it so much, because we have been seeing a lot of, like, really lazy exposition. Not even good exposition guy a la Last Unicorn, but just, we're going to throw a bunch of words on the screen for you to read for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Or random character
even,
just...
And even that is, like, a fourth grader writing exposition for what their play was this afternoon outside with swords and sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's and like sometimes it's that much effort was put into it.
In fairness, there was a pretty solid 15 to 20 minutes of exposition, like once we learned what was going on, but it kind of needed that.
Oh, yeah. You could not just, you know, like pick your pieces here and there and try to put that puzzle together.
And it felt justified, and it was interesting enough that you actually cared.
That
and
was when
to...
the doctor did the whole thing. This is when the strangers came and that whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is they prep, like, that's a dump, but they prep it like you're already, like, when he meets the detective.
Well, they're answering the questions that you obviously.
It was time to find out. Yeah.
You have the way that the movie was tracking, you have a set of questions, like, I need to know. And now they're telling us. Awesome. Right. Okay, and then we can move on.
I loved how clever it was, like, and you see, like, where he sees the hotel or the motel clerk who says, like, you know, money on the barrel, you know, like, all right. And then, like, the next scene, the detective comes in, walks into the building, goes to talk to him, and it's a completely different guy saying the same thing. I told him money on the barrel, and there was no...
And then he sees the former manager as the newspaper guy.
But that was like
way
a good
late,
45,
like
45 50 minutes.
But you're right. They slipped that in there. And like, what? I mean, they looked nothing alike.
No, it wasn't like...
At all. You could not mistake them. But at the same time, they didn't make a big deal of it at all. They just slipped it in there and kept on moving.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what... Like, I really appreciated that this movie did not hold my hand or like jam information. It was like, if you pay attention, you're going to figure out this movie and it's going to be cool. And right. If you're making out during this movie, you will
need to
get
watch it.
You'll get it when Kiefer gives you the big dump at the end.
Yeah.
Or it'll be like, you'll watch it 5 times this week, cuddle through all of them, pick up everything you need from the movie in bits.
You can finish it in one intense sitting or like 5 casual sittings. But, you know, that even rewatching it now, like I noticed some metaphors, some allegories, like the whole untied shoelace thing. He's a details, like they made him notice details, but then he's noticing that things aren't adding up and like things aren't making but why'd they make him play the accordion? Like
I think that's the weird, like, alien, for some reason the aliens are like, he plays the accordion, obviously.
That should have been a key right there. Everybody listening, take a moment and think of someone you know who plays the accordion. Gentlemen, do you know anyone who plays the accordion?
2 people.
My grandfather.
Okay. I knew one kid in my entire existence. There was one kid who played the accordion. Yes. It's just not that popular.
No.
And right now, no.
And then, but then can you imagine that person carrying around the accordion everywhere?
But that's what I mean. This is aliens being like, ah, Weird Al is a good example of typical human.
Yeah, they obviously, like, accordion players carry that around. Like, a detective would carry his accordion in the car, you know, to help noodle through a tough case.
If it was rebooted
to today, what our inept aliens would imagine human American culture to be?
Well, I think we already know the answer.
Yeah.
It would be...
I mean...
Come on.
Guys. We gotta end on a high note.
Well, I mean, piccolos are nice, but bagpipes. It would be bagpipes. He would just bring around his bagpipes and just sit there bagpiping in the corner as he...
And like bagpiping, like, I don't know, Snoop and Dre.
That's why Walensky went mad. He just didn't have enough bagpipe.
Or his partner
or Timberlake's
wouldn't stop.
A sexy back. Yeah. On the bagpipes.
I'm gonna check Spotify, see if I can find that, because that'd be a trip.
Oh my god.
But that would make sense that the aliens would be like, yeah, no, of course. But it was so random. Like of
it
all
was,
things
yeah.
to take.
You
an
know, like
accordion.
All of them were in like they were like Santa's elves, like all making little toys for the next.
But they're corpses and like, you know, Clive Barker leather and
Hellraiser costumes.
Yeah.
I definitely got actually a Hellraiser vibe from like the leader guy.
Oh, 100%. Like I feel like that whoever came up with this had a really cool idea, and then they're like, well, that's neat, but how do we like flesh it out? Like, what do we? I kind of burned all my creative juices coming up with this neat one idea of like, you know, tuning and all that, you know, abducted aliens in a dark city. Whoa, so what do the aliens look like? vampires. Yeah. Well, I mean, vampires, like, you know, like, like Nosferatu, but with leather. Like, Pinhead?
Yeah, kind of, but without the pins.
Yeah, no.
They were even chattering a lot.
Oh, my God, yeah. They were. That was the weird clicking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, they were weird squid crab things.
Yeah.
SpongeBob SquarePants and, version of this.
And the city was a bit like the Element configuration.
Oh, gods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this movie borrowed, but, guys, genius. Of course it borrowed heavily from all these genres and all these movies that were popular at the time, because that's what the aliens did.
Yeah.
They borrowed, they couldn't make anything new. They just borrowed and reassembled the things they had to work with. Ergo, why this looked like so many similar things.
Yeah, they hit like an uncanny valley, but it was like a place.
This might be the most genius movie we've ever watched. This is hackneyed. You just copied. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. They found the cheat code.
Well, up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right.
Yeah, yeah. They literally did. Like, we stole everything, and it's okay, because that's what this is all about. It's a metaphor. Dang. It's like there with someone who's like, you know, your whole assignment is to explain, like, what is a bold move, you know, turning in this answer, and that's your answer.
And it's that blank sheet of paper in the art gallery.
Yeah. Take the money and
banana
run.
Taped
Banana
taped on a wall.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Performance art.
Yeah. Yeah. That's this movie. You just copied everything we did. Didn't I?
Did I? It hurts when the mirror is faced right back at you, doesn't it?
The Wachowskis are just going, ooh.
Yeah. I think I'll watch this movie again, maybe
a couple years.
Regularly. I will revisit this and see if my reaction changes.
Okay. I'd be down to do that with you.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, I guess I'll be there too.
Awesome.
Yes, you should. So, we have to make a decision about next week. Any thoughts?
Where do we go from here?
Well, have we kind of played out the world-building sci-fi a little bit? Like,
I have some ideas of where I might want to go.
Where to springboard?
Yep. So, we did Conan the Barbarian.
Mm, yep.
But we never did Red Sonja.
Ooh, and Red Sonja is, I think, on Netflix?
I think it is.
Because that's where Arnold Schwarzenegger lives now. He's on Netflix.
He's on Netflix.
I mean, I dug.
Just, like, it's still high fantasy.
Yeah.
And
I loved Red Sonja as a kid.
So Schwarzenegger's character is King...
he's still Conan.
He's still Conan, but he goes by King like Kilbore or something like that. But it's the name that Conan creates for himself in his later adventures anyways.
I think it was way because they didn't... Is this because they didn't have rights to Conan, but they could use the... So they just changed the name and...
Something like that. Anyways,
but yeah. He's in it briefly.
I like it. Let's do that one.
Yeah, I'm all for Red Sonja. What a palate cleanser from a futuristic mindfuck world. We know, very smart and clever to a bunch of scantily clad humans running around sweaty with swords.
Mm.
Bridget Nielsen? No. Bridget. Yeah. Bridget.
I can't help right now.
It's not. Well, who is the actress?
It's not a
She's
tumor.
The one who was
it's
Dolph
Lundgren. Not a tumor.
She was married to Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, you got it.
Bridget Nielsen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Brigitte.
Yeah, she Nielsen. Dated Flava Flav later on.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. But then we get to see her in her heyday, Red Sonja.
That's right, the good years.
I actually have the pop figure of Red Sonja.
Did you?
I do. It's on my desk.
Nicely done. All right. There we go.
Okay,
we
Red Sonja.
Any parting words?
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
I'm glad we did that.
I'm glad we did that one.
It turned out well.
Total out of esoteric left field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dark City. You're welcome, everyone.
All right. See you guys next time.
No, it's...
This is like a dirty feelings.
They didn't like moisture.
You don't look in here.
That's not where talk about the drilling.
That's
right
not where the
humanity
forehead. Is. Yeah.
Into the pituitary gland. Is that where memories are stored?
You don't look here. Where do you look? In my pants.
That's true. He never told them where to look. He just told them where not to look, which was the middle of the forehead. And no one thought to ask, well, where should we have looked?
But he did turn and walk away.
That's not where my third eye is.
Good night, everybody.